Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungakar. Did your New Year's resolution involve counting calories? For many of us, it did. And just in time, new federal regulations are helping out. New laws this year will require many restaurants to list the number of calories in the food they serve. But will that inspire people to make healthier choices? For Harvest Public Media, Grant Gerlach reports.
Counting calories when you go out to eat can be a bit of a guessing game. Just ask customers at this Amigos restaurant in Lincoln. It's a Nebraska-based chain that serves tacos, burritos, also burgers and fries.
Jessica Zangari, I'm from Lincoln.
Andrew Wells from Lincoln. I got 2 cheesy burritos and a taco and Mexi fries.
Meat nachos.
Any idea what the calorie count might be on those?
Probably 700, 800, I don't know.
I have no idea either. Yes, 600.
Jessica's nachos actually have just over 1,000 calories. Andrew's burritos, taco, and fries come to almost 1,300. It's not a surprise that they had trouble coming up with an accurate number. Christina Roberto studies food labeling at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity.
People have a really hard time estimating the calories in restaurant food because we know when people eat out, they tend to eat foods that are higher in calories. The foods tend to be of poor nutritional quality. They're served in really large portions, and we know that that promotes overeating.
So regulators will require restaurants to display calorie numbers next to items on their menus.
When it comes to the obesity problem that we're faced with and people having excess weight, I think calories is a very reasonable place to start because ultimately that's what, you know, what people need to focus on if they do want to lose weight.
The healthcare reform law passed in 2010 got the ball rolling on putting calorie numbers on menus. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is finalizing the new rules, and new menus could be in place by mid-2012 at restaurant chains with more than 20 locations.
What's happened in terms of menu labeling research is that the findings are pretty mixed.
Roberto at the Rudd Center says some studies show a big impact. Some show only a small portion of customers cutting back on calories.
But when you're thinking about a public health problem, even if you have part of the population doing that, it can really have a meaningful impact.
Roberto also says with calories on the menu, it may not be just consumers changing their habits. Restaurants might also decide to cut back.
Some of these chain restaurants in particular, they have menu items that are your whole day's worth of calories. So we're already starting to see Cheesecake Factory announcing a Skinnylicious menu, Olive Garden saying they're going to bring the calorie counts down in their foods.
Amigos' Jan Moore says over the years, she's chased after different health trends, but she senses a more lasting change may be setting in. Their low-calorie Fiesta Fit menu was introduced a year ago.
And for the first time, the public responded, and they sold well enough that we kept them on our menu all year round. They're still on. So more than ever, the public is responding and concerned. How much it affects their buying patterns is hard to say.
Consumers will eventually have the numbers in front of them, but it will still be their choice whether to add them up. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Grant Gerlach.
As enrollment rates increase at universities across the country, counselors say they face more difficulties handling student mental health concerns. And as KBIA's Scott Kanowski reports, the University of Missouri system is feeling the strain as well.
Does anybody have questions?
Dr. David Wallace is standing in front of a class of college students, a PowerPoint projection lit behind him. It is Suicide Prevention Week at MU, so Wallace is giving tips on coping with severe mental health problems.
Talk to the person alone in a private setting. This is important.
Wallace is the head of the counseling center at the MU campus, where enrollment grew more than 4% from 2010. A licensed psychologist, Wallace says he and his staff treat more students each year.
We were seeing this, maybe not in the 1980s, but starting in the 1990s, definitely.
Statistics from the MU Counseling Center show a 35% increase in the number of students seeking counseling and psychotherapy treatment in the past 5 years. including a nearly 280% spike in, quote, crisis appointments. The numbers, Wallace says, have him worried his office, which is funded by a mandatory activity fee levied on all MU students, will be unable to handle the influx in students or meet accreditation standards of the International Association of Counseling Services.
Their suggestion is a minimum of one professional staff member, not a trainee, one professional staff member for every 1,500 to 1,000 students. So we're really working toward that ratio. When you look at both what student health offers as far as psychologists, what we have available in psychologists and counselors, we're somewhere around 1 to 1,900.
That's still an improvement since 2009, when the Counseling Center struggled to fill the need for professionals, employing only 6 licensed individuals on staff, a 5-year low. Counseling Center staff says the shortage forced students to wait sometimes weeks or months before receiving any treatment. The Counseling Center now employs 12 full-time and 2 part-time professionals. A large majority of the work, however, is done by a legion of graduate students, not licensed therapists. Wallace says the graduate students on his staff are carefully screened before being hired, and the university is always striving to close that gap. But Wallace admits with an influx in students comes a decrease in sessions with the counselor, and a move toward resolving mental health issues in a quicker time frame, although he couldn't provide specifics.
We try to work with most of the situations as much as we possibly can in a briefer period of time. It's a management kind of thing.
So you're trying to abbreviate the time you're spending with each patient?
We're trying to give them quality. Yeah, we're trying to give them still the quality, but working within briefer models.
This is one thing that's really important.
Back in the classroom listening to Wallace is a senior MU residence hall coordinator. He wanted to be called John for this story. He says he's uneasy about shorter sessions with students in need of counseling.
I've heard that it's underutilized, what they have. So it's definitely something that I think is necessary, but I wouldn't want to see less. Yeah, I wouldn't want cutbacks there, definitely.
But John and officials at the University of Missouri in Columbia are not the only ones saying they're experiencing such challenges. The University of Missouri-Kansas City has seen a 175% increase in the number of students using the on-campus counseling center in the last decade, and the Missouri University of Science and Technology had already seen 400 more students in 2011 than in each of the past 3 years.
I think for the last several years, the demographics have been increasing.
Patty Fleck heads the counseling center at Missouri S&T.
There's more students graduating from high school, and so more students coming to college, and so just in terms of percentages, the number of students seeking counseling also has also increased as the enrollment has increased.
At the same time, Dr. Ball says he knows there are certain limitations placed onto every university's mental health center.
We're not everything to everybody. We can't be a full service, everything from a brief intervention to long-term therapy treatment. We can't be all of those things. We don't have the funding. We don't have the staff.
In the end, Wallace says, everybody is dealing with this. Scott Kanowski, KBIA News.
That's Under the Microscope this week. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for joining us.